The classroom presentation of the disclaimer provides further evidence that it conveys a message of religious endorsement. It is important to initially note that as a result of the teacher's refusal to read the disclaimer, school administrators were forced to make special appearances in the science classrooms to deliver it. No evidence was presented by any witness that the Dover students are presented with a disclaimer of any type in any other topic in the curriculum. An objective student observer would accordingly be observant of the fact that the message contained in the disclaimer is special and carries special weight. In addition, the objective student would understand that the administrators are reading the statement because the biology teachers refuse to do so on the ground that they are legally and ethically barred from misrepresenting a religious belief as science, as will be discussed below. This would provide the students with an additional reason to conclude that the district is advocating a religious view in biology class. Second, the administrators made the remarkable and awkward statement as part of the disclaimer that there will be no other discussion of the issue and your teachers will not answer questions on the issue. Dr. Alters explained that a reasonable student observer would conclude that ID is a kind of secret science that students apparently can't discuss with their science teacher, which he indicated is pedagogically about as bad as I could possibly think of. Unlike anything else in the curriculum, students are under the impression that the topic to which they are introduced in the disclaimer, ID, is so sensitive that the students and their teachers are completely barred from asking questions about it or discussing it. A third important issue concerning the classroom presentation of the disclaimer is the opt-out feature. Students who do not wish to be exposed to the disclaimer, and students whose parents do not care to have them exposed to it, must opt out to avoid the unwanted religious message. Dr. Alters testified that the opt-out feature adds novelty, thereby enhancing the importance of the disclaimer in students' eyes. Moreover, the stark choice that exists between submitting to state-sponsored religious instruction and leaving the public school classroom presents a clear message to students who are non-adherents that they are outsiders, not full members of the political community. Accordingly, we find that the classroom presentation of the disclaimer, including school administrators making a special appearance in the science classrooms to deliver the statement, the complete prohibition on discussion or questioning ID, and the opt-out feature all convey a strong message of religious endorsement. An objective student is also presumed to know that the Dover School Board advocated for the curriculum change in the disclaimer in expressly religious terms, that the proposed curriculum change prompted massive community debate over the board's attempts to inject religious concepts into the science curriculum, and that the board adopted the ID policy in furtherance of an expressly religious agenda, as will be elaborated upon below. Additionally, the objective student is presumed to have information concerning the history of religious opposition to evolution and would recognize that the board's ID policy is in keeping with that tradition. Consider, for example, that the Supreme Court in Santa Fe stated that it presumed that every Santa Fe High School student understands clearly that the school district's policy is about prayer and not student free speech rights, as the school board had alleged. And the Supreme Court premised that presumption on the principle that the history and ubiquity of the graduation prayer practice provides part of the context in which a reasonable observer evaluates whether a challenged governmental practice conveys a message of endorsement of religion. Importantly, the historical context that the objective student is presumed to know consists of a factor that weighed heavily in the Supreme Court's decision to strike down the balanced treatment law in Edwards, specifically that out of many possible science subjects taught in the public schools, the legislature chose to affect the teaching of the one scientific theory that historically has been opposed by certain religious sects. Moreover, the objective student is presumed to know that encouraging the teaching of evolution as a theory, rather than as a fact, is one of the latest strategies to dilute evolution instruction employed by anti-evolutionists with religious motivations. In summary, the disclaimer singles out the theory of evolution for special treatment, misrepresents its status in the scientific community, causes students to doubt its validity without scientific justification, presents students with a religious alternative masquerading as a scientific theory, directs them to consult a creationist text as though it was a science resource, and instructs students to forego scientific inquiry in the public school classroom and instead to seek out religious instruction elsewhere. Furthermore, as Drs. Alters and Miller testified, introducing ID necessarily invites religion into the science classroom as it sets up what will be perceived by students as a God-friendly science, the one that explicitly mentions an intelligent designer, and that the other science, evolution, takes no position on religion. Dr. Miller testified that a false duality is produced. It tells students quite explicitly, choose God on the side of intelligent design, or choose atheism on the side of science. Introducing such a religious conflict into the classroom is very dangerous because it forces students to choose between God and science, not a choice that schools should be forcing on them. Our detailed chronology of what a reasonable, objective student is presumed to know has made abundantly clear to the court that an objective student would view the disclaimer as a strong official endorsement of religion or a religious viewpoint. We now turn to whether an objective adult observer in the Dover community would perceive defendant's conduct similarly. Section 3, whether an objective Dover citizen would perceive defendant's conduct to be an endorsement of religion. The court must consider whether an objective adult observer in the Dover community would perceive the challenged ID policy as an endorsement of religion because the unrefuted evidence offered at trial establishes that, although the disclaimer is read to students in their ninth grade biology classes, the board made and subsequently defended its decision to implement the curriculum change publicly, thus casting the entire community as the listening audience for its religious message. We are in agreement with plaintiffs that when a governmental practice bearing on religion occurs within view of the entire community, the reasonable observer is an objective, informed adult within the community at large, even if the specific practice is directed at only a subset of that community, as courts routinely look beyond the government's intended audience to the broader listening audience. Otherwise, government would be free and able to sponsor religious messages simply by declaring that those who share in the beliefs that it is espousing are the message's only intended recipients. Accordingly, not only are parents and other Dover citizens part of the listening audience for the board's curriculum change, but they are part of its intended audience as well. First, the board brought the public into the debate over whether to include ID in the curriculum as it proposed, advocated, and ultimately approved the ID policy in the public school board meetings. These meetings were such that members of the public not only attended them, but also had the opportunity to offer public comment on the proposal. In those board meetings, open to the public at large, several Dover School Board members advocated for the ID policy in expressly religious terms, with their comments reported extensively in the local newspapers, as will be discussed in detail below. Second, at least two board members, William Buckingham and Heather Giese, defended the proposed curriculum change in the media in expressly religious terms. Moreover, it is notable that the board sent a newsletter to every household in Dover in February 2005, produced to help explain the changes in the biology curriculum, and prepared in conjunction with defense counsel the Thomas More Law Center. Typically, the board sent out a newsletter in the Dover area approximately four times a year, and in February 2005, the board unanimously voted to mail a specialized newsletter to the community. Although formatted like a typical direct newsletter, an objective adult member of the Dover community is presumed to understand this mailing as an aggressive advocacy piece denigrating the scientific theory of evolution while advocating ID. Within this newsletter, the initial entry under the heading Frequently Asked Questions demeans plaintiffs for protecting their constitutional rights as it states, a small minority of parents have objected to the recent curriculum change by arguing that the board has acted to impose its own religious beliefs on students. Religion is again mentioned in the second frequently asked question as it poses the question, isn't ID simply religion in disguise? The newsletter suggests that scientists engage in trickery and doublespeak about the theory of evolution by stating, the word evolution has several meanings, and those supporting Darwin's theory of evolution use that confusion in definition to their advantage. The newsletter additionally makes the claim that ID is a scientific theory on par with evolution and other scientific theories by explaining the theory of intelligent design, ID, is a scientific theory that differs from Darwin's view and is endorsed by a growing number of credible scientists. Evolution is subsequently denigrated, and claims that have not been advanced, much less proven in the scientific community, are elaborated upon in the newsletter. In simple terms, on a molecular level, scientists have discovered a purposeful arrangement of parts which cannot be explained by Darwin's theory. In fact, since the 1950s, advances in molecular biology and chemistry have shown us that living cells, the fundamental units of life processes, cannot be explained by chance. The newsletter suggests that evolution has atheistic implications by indicating that some have said that before Darwin, we thought a benevolent God had created us. Biology took away our status as made in the image of God, or Darwinism made it possible to be an intellectually fulfilled atheist. Finally and notably, the newsletter all but admits that ID is religious by quoting Anthony Flew, described as a world-famous atheist who now believes in intelligent design, as follows. My whole life has been guided by the principle of Plato's Socrates, follow the evidence where it leads. This February 2005 newsletter was mailed to every household in Dover, even those individuals who had no children, never attended a Dover board meeting, and never concerned themselves with learning about school policies, were directly confronted and made the listening audience for the district's announcement of its sponsorship of a religious viewpoint. Thus, the February 2005 newsletter was an astonishing propaganda discourse, which succeeded in advising the few individuals who were by that time not aware that a firestorm had erupted over ID in Dover. In addition to being aware of the public debate over whether to include ID in the biology curriculum, the public board meetings where such proposed curriculum change was advanced in expressly religious terms and receiving a newsletter providing detailed information about the ID policy, the district assigned Dover parents a special role regarding the ID policy. Parents of ninth grade biology students who are subject to the ID policy are sent a letter when their children are taking biology asking if anyone has a problem with the disclaimer statement and calling on them to decide whether to allow their children to remain in the classroom and hear the religious message or instead to direct their children to leave the room. When parents must give permission for their children to participate in an activity, the Supreme Court has held that the parents are the relevant audience for purposes of the endorsement. The converse must also be true when parents must decide whether to withhold permission to participate in an activity or course of instruction. They remain the relevant audience for ascertaining whether government is communicating a message favoring religion. An objective member, adult member, of the Dover community would also be presumed to know that ID and teaching about supposed gaps and problems in evolutionary theory are creationist religious strategies that evolved from earlier forms of creationism, as we previously detailed. The objective observer is therefore aware of the social context in which the ID policy arose, and considered in light of this history, the challenged ID policy constitutes an endorsement of a religious view for the reasons that follow.